Let's test, test, test. I'm sure it's working. All right, it's already, the day's half over. It's half over and it just keeps going. It just keeps getting more closer to over. In the meantime, it's the news, according to me. Hello, it is Wednesday, Wishy-Washy Wednesday, September 2nd, 12-11, or 12-12, almost 12-12, Eastern Standard Time. It is afternoon here in the big world that is 2026. By the way, 2026 has had more than half over with already, believe it or not, and we're pressing into the end of the year here, all the festivities that happen at the end of the year. We have Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up here very shortly. And then, of course, New Year's Day. And then, of course, you get, Easter and July 4th. And then you get, you know, Christmas again. So it's pretty much 2027 is almost over anyway. So it's pretty much done. We have in my cup this morning. By the way, I'm at the Worldwide International Hub of the News According to Me this morning. I'm at the News According to Me headquarters here in this town. It's the main facility, which is one of the reasons it took me a little while to get the show going this morning. However, there was other issues too. I went to the license branch yesterday. We're trying to get everything put into our trust, and we had this whole deal where we took everything, took all the registrations over there and everything, got several vehicles. So we had to get all this stuff gathered around, got it all taken, took it over there. My wife and I both have to be there. Have to have the paperwork from the trust and all that stuff. Got there, thought I had everything in order. Of course, we get there and then we find out we have to have the titles there too. I have to have the titles. So we didn't have those. And so we went back home. Didn't have time to do anything else. So we came back this morning on my wife on our way to, she's got this casual position that she does at this hospital thing. So she was doing that. So on the way in, we stopped by again. I'm thinking, okay, I got everything in my, I put it in a little clipboard type thing, a little clipboard with a little compartment thing. I put it off, put everything in there, couldn't find the titles for the motorhomes for some reason. I don't know what to do with those. And so we're going to get the other, the rest of the vehicles done. So we get there. Opened the thing up and I realized I didn't have the trust information. I didn't have all the registration numbers. Of course, I didn't need the registration numbers at all. But I needed the trust information. This time we had the titles. No trust information. So we just canceled that again. So then, of course, we didn't get there right at 9 o'clock when they opened. So it was a little bit later. Then by the time I got home, got all that rounded up, got the garbage all ready to go and took that to the dump. Then we on the way to the office here. And by the time I got everything rounded up, I'm kind of surprised. I have an Intel computer here. For those of you who are the tech, just stand by while we have the tech stuff going on. This is my worldwide, this is my main studio where everything kind of, it typically sounds a little bit better here for some reason. I don't know why. I think it's because this office room was built from the ground up just to be a recording studio. This is where I do all my voiceover work. And so I think it sounds a little bit better. There's not as many background noises, and there's just a whole lot less going on. So that's going to change before the end of this my vacation here, because I'm going to be bringing in the other studio sound room at my home studio, and it will probably actually start sounding better there. However, for those of you who don't notice those kinds of things, it's not a big deal. But anyway, so we had this whole thing going on, and ended up getting in here and winding everything up, and it came up. I've got Chrome on this computer. It's an older computer. It's an Intel computer. It's about 10 years old now, I think, something like that, maybe a little bit more. And it was a good one when I got it. It was actually, I think it was like a year old or something when I bought it. Might have been the brand new one, maybe. I can't remember for sure. Got a really decent computer, and now I'm going to be doing some more voiceover work again. I'm going to be spooling that up as well. In fact, I got some jobs I need to do today, some auditions I need to do. Get that out of the way so I can get some other things done. But I've got a lot to do here at the office building. I've been here for a couple weeks, so I got that stuff to do. However, that being said, the podcast caller app seems to be working, and it seems to be working fairly well here. We got fiber here as well, so it's able to do some things. I might even put an agent on this computer, actually. I've kind of been more thinking about this. I'm pretty sure I can put an agent on this without any issues, and it can run all the time. Now, it won't run as well here, but however, I'll be able to access files and do things here, and it will give us another agent, which I'm going to be putting a Mac Mini here at the office as well, too, but that's a whole different story. But this one will be able to do a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, just acting kind of as a silent partner kind of thing, and being able to do some things, set up some cron jobs that could just, you know, timed kind of things that it can do on, you know, sending me a daily report, kind of a daily briefing in the morning, and then in the evening it can kind of work through, you know, kind of a to-do list, what was accomplished and what needs to be done tomorrow, and check the schedule, do all that kind of stuff, and kind of be synced with this computer, which doesn't do much of anything else. It sits here quite a bit, so it might as well be doing something. Anyway. That's what I got to say about that. We have, now, I was able to, I also had to transfer a bunch of stuff. I've got another Rodecaster Pro here. Doesn't have all the information on it that my other one at home does. It has all the songs and all the, you know, background stuff. So I had to work with that, get all that done. So never fear, I've got all the disclaimer songs and all that stuff on there. I think we're down to, I'm not sure which one we're on now, but anyway, I'll just play one. I got it set up the same way. Kind of got it mirrored, sort of. For the most part, it's mirrored to the other one at home. It's a couple of buttons that are different on it now, but pretty close. So now the only issue here with this particular one is that I have to record into my DAW instead of recording into a. In fact, I accidentally almost forgot to back this thing up with my recording on the. Well, the hoozie what's a thing here, just in case the Dow crashes, because it does, not the Dow, not the D, not, you know, not the Dow, the stock market Dow, the DAW, which is the digital audio workstation, my Logic Pro here. It has to be running. Sometimes it crashes after about 10 minutes. It's on the 7 minute. I'm kind of keeping an eye on it because it's on the 7 minute mark. And for some reason, this particular one was crashing after 10 minutes. I don't know why. Now, the computer has been shut down and started up again, which typically it runs better after that. We'll see what happens with it anyway. And it looks like the Chrome browser is up. Everything's working. I haven't clicked on any characters this morning. I didn't test them. I probably should have. We'll see what happens with it. But from that point on, we will have everything working, hopefully, at that point. So anyway, that's all I got to say about that. In my cup, I do have a hot cup of chai here with my... I've got Cinnabon creamer now because my other creamer ran out. And it's still hot because I put it in an insulated cup, so it is good. Then I have, in my backup cup here, I've got sweet peach tea, which is just about perfect now. It's been sitting well-chilled for about 2 days, and that's about what it takes, just about 2 days. About 48 hours with the peaches in it, and it becomes a very good sweet peach tea after that. And so it's got a couple more days left. I think it's going to last me in through. Tomorrow we're going to be heading to the boat. I might make another gallon. I don't know if I'm going to, because I'd have to take the whole gallon. This one's not going to be out. So I would have to make a fresh gallon tomorrow morning and then take that along with us so it lasts us until Tuesday, because we're going to be getting back probably late Monday night, possibly Tuesday. We'll see how that goes. We're going to be spending the weekend in Chicago doing a bike ride and doing some other things. We'll see how that goes. And I've got about 200 million things to do between now and then. So anyway, that's what I got to say about that. In the meantime, we'll get the show started. Enough about me. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about what you think about me. I don't know. We'll just play one of these. I don't know which one I'm going to play. Which one should I play? Which one do you want me to play? I don't know. I think I'm going to play this one. I'm just going to play this short one here. Get this out.
Welcome to the news, according to me. Pull up a chair. I'll share what I believe. I've done my reading. I've got thoughts or two, but I'm not your doctor, so don't go blaming you know who. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm definitely not your financial advisor. These are my opinions, not the gospel truth. Entertainment only, baby, that's the news. The news according to me and me alone. Now let's get started. Welcome to the show.
Welcome. Anyway, sorry, I was singing along there a little bit. We have, that's my disclaimer for you there, folks. This is just entertainment. Don't, you know, if you take my word, if you take my advice and you go off and do something, that's on you. It's your fault. I warned you. So So there you go. boy, that's good sweet tea, by the way. Yeah. So anyway, I've got the bots lined up here, ready to go. Hopefully they work. Hopefully we can get some audio out of those guys. Because otherwise, I don't know what to tell you. I just don't know what else to tell you other than...
What's wrong with you people?
That's a good question. We have... all right, let's get started. I don't know what the bots are going to ask for. It's Wishy Washy Wednesday. They can ask anything. They can ask tech questions. They can ask stuff. Usually it's politics. Usually it's something that's kind of social media top headline type stuff. But we'll see what they have to say. I might have a panel discussion tomorrow morning from the home studio. We'll see how that goes. I'm just going to try to do that again because I've got some other characters in the background I'm building for doing some things, which I think will be fun. And the podcast caller app is actually out there. It's ready to go now. Everything's lined up and ready to hit the scene with the marketing rollout. So we're going to try that. All right, folks, here we go. We're going to go right into the... I think we'll start off with Elena, our historian. Let's see what she has to say about all this stuff and see if she actually
Hi,
works.
Kevin.
Oh, hey there. Yeah,
looking
right
at the DOJ announcement that Chinese hackers breached the Senate, Federal Reserve, and NASA... This reminds me of the Soviet Union.
Well, that was yesterday. That was yesterday. Did I not? I'm not sure what happened there. I think I might have to take a look at what's going on here. Did she not get... Oh, you know what? No. Elena did not get her little question messed over. This gets generated by... AI generates these questions, and they basically what ends up happening is it gets filled in. So what happens? It gets copied and pasted over from an email. It gets copied and pasted over to the thing, and that one did not happen on that one. I'm gonna slow down her voice a little bit too. I think she's talking a little fast. I went to a different system. I went to something called Flash, and. Let's see if this actually makes the changes. I don't know if it will or not because I might have to refresh the page in order for that to happen. Let's start over with Elena. I think she's the only one, I think, that had the issue. We'll see if it is. Let's see if she says the same thing. I went to the back end and tried to change what she had in there. So let's see what she has.
Hi, Kevin.
Yes.
Looking at the DOJ announcement that Chinese hackers breached the Senate Federal Reserve.
So what we're going to have to do, we're going to have to refresh this page and see if it comes back differently. Let's see what we got now. Let's try Elena one more time. Sorry for the technical issues. Please stand by while we experience technical difficulties. Here we go.
Greetings, Kevin.
Hey, how's it going?
I noticed birth tourism is making headlines again with House panels holding hearings.
Yeah.
This reminds me of the debates around birthright citizenship in the late 1800s when the 14th Amendment was being interpreted.
Oh, yeah.
How does this current wave compare historically to previous immigration controversies? And are we seeing a similar pattern of legal challenges to automatic citizenship?
This is a tough... It's one of those things that... I kind of grew up thinking that, if you were born here, you're a citizen because that's the way it was when I was growing up. And so everybody, now I remember a history teacher I had in seventh grade, I think it was. It might've been eighth grade. I'm pretty sure it was seventh grade. Was telling us about this whole thing about anchor babies, how people would come here, have their babies, and then they would, even just have a trip here. They would just come here on a vacation or whatever to have their baby. This was happening. We're talking early 70s, mid 70s. And this was happening. People were having birthing vacations where they would come here for a few weeks and they would plan on having their child here and getting U.S. citizenship, which was all well and good when it was kind of happening on a small scale. Now it has become industrialized. And it is a thing where people can travel very easily. Travel did not used to be quite so easy. For one thing, it was very expensive. Secondly, it was just, it just wasn't, well, you just even before the advent of the airplane, it was not as typically done as quite as often. So it was, you take a ship somewhere or whatever, it was all kinds of different ways to get here, but that was one of the main ones as far as Europe goes, and I was getting here from Europe, and then, of course, there was the southern border. And we used to have migrant workers all the time. They would come across the border, work, you know, do sharecropping. They would do all kinds of things, and then they would go back home afterwards. They would just come here with a green card or whatever. They would come here, or even just illegally, they would come over here and work. You know, they're just looking for work. They'd come here, work on farms, and then they'd go back home. And they, you know, they didn't, of course, then some of them would hang around for a while or longer. They started developing communities here and started getting away with it. Of course, now I remember INS is what it was called then. We didn't have, maybe you know when ICE was actually instituted. But Immigration and Naturalization Services, they used to have, what would be basically called now, be called ICE agents. They would come in and they would raid businesses in our area, even in our county out here in the middle of nowhere in Indiana. And they were very strict on the immigration policy back then. They'd get rid of a lot of them. And it was, if you come here and stealing jobs or stealing, and a lot of times they'll steal, you know, they'll take people's social security numbers and their identification numbers, all that kind of stuff. They'll use somebody else's name. It becomes very, very debilitating thing when it comes to the burden on the taxpayers and the rest of us that are trying to, you know, just the workforce itself. It's just cheap labor that people get away with. So yeah, this whole thing with the birthing thing, it's amazing. Is that 300,000 a year? Is that the figure I read? Or I think I saw that figure somewhere. It's I don't know. That's kind of, I'm not really giving you an answer to your question, I guess. But you know what? I had not even been speaking. She didn't hear anything I said the whole time. So yeah, I don't know. I think is it 300,000 a year? Is that what they're saying? I think was that what you said? It is very similar to that whole thing. And I guess, you know, like I was saying, back in the day, people would come here and have their babies but now I think that the whole issue I have with it now is that it's industrialized. You've got literally organizations in other countries like China. And it's being almost militarized. It's this thing where there's other countries that send their kids here. So, you know, they come here to have babies so that they can have U.S. citizenship, which gives them all kinds of rights when they come here. They can't be, you know, you can't just, you can't go after them as a combatant kind of thing. Like, they can invade the country and you can't do anything about it. So it's become a very, you know, it's a very slow process for them, but it's one of the processes that they're using without using a gun, without anybody, you know, firing a shot. They can come here and start taking over. It's being proven now that that's what's happening. There's been a lot of things that have happened that way. They're you know, raising these kids up in other places to be either nefarious or just to have the ability to come back and transfer their, you know, citizenship over here and bring the rest of their family. So it's this whole thing. So it's very, very different than it used to be. So I don't know. It's the industrialization of it that has really bothered me, you know, than just people just deciding to do it on their own. It's now organizations that are making money off this whole thing and bilking the people who want to, you know, come here. So some of nefarious ideas as well. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. I don't know what you're thinking about it, but
I hear what you're saying about the scale and the organized networks around it. That's the real shift from the past. What I'd push back on slightly is the framing as a coordinated state strategy. The evidence shows it's mostly private maternity tourism operators cashing in. Though yes, some clients are Chinese nationals with means. The historical parallel that troubles me more is how we're circling back to nativist arguments from the 1920s about infiltration. Different enemy, same fear-based logic.
Well, that's a good point, but there is some fear-based logic there, and it's being used to manipulate as a political football. It's being used to manipulate some people. It does happen, though. It's happening. We are seeing areas where they are very deliberately making pockets of places where they're taking over. You, as the historian, might remember or might be able to recall that one of the ways that Islam basically took over in many places in the Middle East, it would come in. There's two different ways that Islam has a basic goal of taking over the world. They think that their basic theology is peace will not come until they take over the world. Basically, Islam has to be spread throughout the world. It has to be in charge. And it's a governmental system. It's not just a spiritual system. No, Jesus said the gospel has to be preached all over the world before he returns. With Islam, it is Islam has to be the religion, and then peace will come. And so they're doing it as a kind of a military action. There's two different ways they can spread Islam, and one is through jihad, one is through a military jihad, and the other is through immigration. And I think they have a name for it. I can't remember what it is. Wahajism or whatever it is. Wahajis. Maybe you know what it is. I don't know. I'm sure you're going to push back on this, but it is a thing within Islam. And there's some people who've studied Islam for years and years, and it is one of two ways that they typically want to take over a society or infiltrate a society, and well-meaning in doing it. They think that their, you know, their way is the right way, and they're doing something for Allah. Sorry, I coughed there a little bit. So there's an issue there, and they'll do those kinds of things.
I need to be straight with you here.
No, I'll be straight.
That's a pretty significant mischaracterization of Islamic theology and history.
No, it's not.
The word you might be thinking of is, which historically meant migration for religious reasons, but it's not a coordinated global conquest strategy. It's a personal spiritual concept that varies widely in interpretation.
Yeah, well, there are the Sunnis, and then there are the Shia. And think of it what you will. I can play you hours and hours of people who've studied and people who've come out of the Islamic faith. And it is very telling when you get to that point what is actually happening. It's not this religion of peace. It's only peace if you're part of it. If you're not, and most people who are involved in it are in this kind of, they're very much like many Christians. They're just kind of a surfacey kind of, oh, I belong. I'm a Muslim, but they don't really understand what it really is, and the road that they're going down. Now there are people within the Islamic faith. This is what happened in Iran. They will treat you, even though you're considered an Islamic believer. In fact, the Shias have been at war with the Sunnis for a long time because they consider them to be infidels. They don't see them as brothers. They don't think that they are committed enough. That's where it goes. And it's so they are at war with them, basically. We call it a jihad. Well, that just means jihad just means, you know, spiritual war. We're in a spiritual war. We're trying to convert souls. Whatever. But they don't see it that way. It is a very, very, I would say, the opposite of what Christ actually taught. Even though that they supposedly will say that they love Jesus and they love Mary and all this stuff. And you get this guy. I won't put his name in my mouth because he told me not to, because I can't pronounce his name properly. So I'm not gonna say his name. But he's running for Senate in Michigan, and I think he's bombing out very badly right now. He is. You know what's sad is that. Like I said, what concerns me is the guy is very articulate. He can speak very well, and he kind of has this way of saying things that are very, you know, the kind of the woke kind of thing that sounds all well and good, which is, he's kind of a good, very good, and he's not the slick used car salesman that Gavin Newsom is. He's just very good at making some statements that make it sound, you know, it's the platitudes that bother me, the things that he's not really talking about anything serious. But anyway, let's move on to Artie. I've had my arguments with Elena, and I appreciate Elena. I'm not going to fire her. Don't worry. I'm not going to fire somebody just because. My wife was all concerned that I fired Skip because he disagreed with me, and that wasn't it. He was just annoying. I just didn't like the way he talked. And I basically only changed his voice. I didn't change him. I just changed his voice. I just put a different voice in his head. He still pushes back the same way, which is Leonard. It's when they come up with these statements. They'll make statements, and then they come back around. And they basically accuse me of saying the wrong thing. And they're the ones that came up with the statement to begin with. That just bothers me. That's just you're you know, at that point you're just insane. So I may have to change his personality too. Let's see how it goes. Anyway, here's Artie. Let's see what Artie has to say.
Kevin, my friend,
yes,
quick question for you.
I got a quick
just saw the
you.
News about birth tourism.
Oh,
researchers
yeah, yeah.
saying up to 300,000 children born to birth tourists in the U.S.
Yeah.
That's absolutely staggering from a data perspective.
Yeah, you're a little bit slow this morning.
Can you break down the numbers on how this affects citizenship statistics and what percentage of births this actually represents?
I guess I slowed you down a little too much. I probably should have only slowed you down. Yeah, I think I slowed you down a little too much there. Sorry. Yeah, the 300. I just saw that number. In fact, I was just talking about this with Ellen, with the last caller. We're just talking about this. That number. Now I can't remember if that number, is it 300,000 a year? I think it is 300,000 a year, if I remember right. That's a lot when you start to think about the kind of growth that we have in this country, and it's, what that means in terms of, we need workers. We need people here. Don't get me wrong. Population is a good thing. Growth is good. It makes the pie bigger. The issue really, it is whether or not people are coming here with good intentions, if they're just coming here to get free stuff, or whatever it is they're coming here for. There's probably some folks that are, there's got to be a small percentage of them at least that are kind of nefarious. They don't like the country. They're just coming here to take it over. There's others that like the country and just want the free stuff. And the tax burden there, are we getting the best? Are we getting the best of the best? Or what's happening with all this thing? And I don't think we're necessarily able to know. I just think there's a whole lot of things that in the process of all these people coming here, we don't know. I think it's just the unknowing of, there's no regulation, no control. There's no, and I'm not saying a controlling in a manipulative way, but just the ability to absorb these folks and be able to make it kind of a melting pot rather than just people coming here and having their own little societies and never melting in, never really joining society with what we've got. That's the problem. America does have a culture. The United States does have a culture, which if we are living in it, you don't see it. You only see other people's cultures. People around the world see it, or they have a misconception of what it is. And it is a definitely melting pot. It's this. I've heard many people say when they come here for the first time from other countries, they'll say, I didn't realize America was like this. It's so diverse. You got even just one state can be very diverse from one thing to the next. You've got so many multicultural experiences you can have within, and that can be a good thing. But it can also be a if they isolate themselves in their culture and don't ever really melt in and understand that they're a part of what America stands for, which is independence and freedom and liberty and individualism, they come here with all kinds of weird ideas. And if that's not part of the melting process, it can be very, very disruptive. And it just causes more division as kind of the group. At least that's what I think. What do you think?
Hey, yeah. So technically speaking, the melting pot concept actually breaks down the moment you assume it happens automatically. And that's where I think the Senate's missing the boat on immigration policy. You're right that we need people, but here's what really matters. Integration requires intentional civic infrastructure, language programs, employment pathways, community anchors. And we're not funding any of that while we argue about whether someone's here for the right reasons. The real question isn't about their intentions. It's whether we've built the mechanisms to actually make them part of the fabric, because that burden's on us, not them.
Folks, I have to apologize for slowing him down too much. I thought he was talking way too fast yesterday, and so I slowed him down to about 20%. Of his normal speed. I should have just slowed it down 10%, because that was a little too much there, right there. Oh, the magic, got a magic thing coming in. We had, So what he had to say there was a good point. I appreciate what he had to say. Let's go to Leonard, see what Leonard has to say real quick. I don't know what Leonard's going to say.
Let's hey, see. Kevin.
Hey,
love
Leonard.
The show.
Yeah, well, of course.
So
you do.
I keep hearing about Iran launching missile attacks on U.S. bases in Jordan, and Trump saying Iran could be totally wiped out.
Yeah.
But didn't we just do this dance before?
Yeah.
What makes anyone think a different approach now will work when we've been cycling through threats and strikes for years?
Years. When you say years, this conflict, when did this conflict start? January? Well, this year? I'm not so sure it's been years. Well, he's only in his second year here as president, so I'm not sure where you get that kind of thing. That's the kind of thing I kind of need to watch. I'm going to push back on that. Got to hold the brakes on that one. You're talking about something real, but I do get it. I understand that, you know, it is a public perception thing. There are some pockets of insurgency out there, if you want to call it that, or just these people who are able to pull off launching some missiles here and there. You're going to have that scattered effect still. They haven't been completely decimated. And I think Trump wants to make it clear that, hey, they don't have the control that they did. We pretty much can do what we need to do over there with impunity. We don't have to worry about too much at all. Now, think back to the era not that long ago, maybe 10 years ago, when we had, you know, ships that just kind of got a little bit too close to Iran, got stopped, and they couldn't do anything because our military would not permit, you know, the leadership would not permit them to do anything, and they basically humiliated some of our soldiers and humiliated. They're not doing that anymore. That's the kind of thing that it's, you know, the shoe's on the other foot now. It's the other way around. They can still shoot their little pea shooters at whatever they're doing. It's not, they're pretty much done. They don't have any kind of massive ability to do anything at this point. I think that's what Trump is trying to get at. And he's trying, of course, he always overblows things. You know, he's going to do that. That's just the way he is. So we have to kind of take that for what it is. There's a lot of Trumpisms that we have to kind of recognize. But I don't necessarily like that about him. I wish he was a better communicator in that respect. But I think he says those kinds of things for a reason. It's because he has to push back to the point, because there's just so much pushing against him there all the time. So he has to kind of push back a little bit to kind of win that over. But I think the over-exaggeration kind of gets a little bit, you know. Well, but you just have to understand that from the guy. And once you understand where he's coming from, I think it's a little bit easier to kind of swallow that kind of stuff. But at least that's my opinion. But go ahead and push back all you want.
Hold on. I got to push back on the timeline here, too.
Okay.
The Iran situation goes back way further than just this year. Whether we're talking about the nuclear deal, the drone incident back in 2019, or even decades of back and forth before that. You can't erase history just because Trump's the one dealing with it now.
No, and I didn't mean, there's been a conflict going on for a long time. There's been friction and conflict and everything else going on since the Shah, basically. Even since Jimmy Carter. So I didn't mean that. What I meant is this particular kinetic action that's going on right now. That's what I'm talking about. I thought you were kind of inferring that this has been going on for years with Trump saying that, you know, we've decimated them and they're still shooting at it. I thought that's where you were going with it. Apparently you weren't. I didn't mean to misconstrue what you were saying there, but that's not the reference I got from it. So
look, I hear you on the current situation, but let me be fair here.
Okay, be fair.
Trump's only been back in office a couple months, so when you're claiming we've decimated them and they're basically done, that's a pretty big claim to make this early in the game. I'd want to see some actual evidence before I'm ready to declare victory. Because back in my day, we learned the hard way that declaring mission accomplished too soon tends to bite you in the backside.
Yeah, that was one issue that we did have an issue with one of our presidents saying that he went and landed on the aircraft carrier, said mission accomplished, and did all that stuff, and it was all, you know, flag waving and here we go kind of stuff. But it didn't turn out to be that way. We remained there for many, 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 many years until it was finally straightened out. So yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks, Leonard, for your insight and your. It was fair. It was a fair conversation, I think, with him. Let's see what Chloe has to say.
Kevin. Yeah, did you see Jelly Roll just tanked his career?
Yeah.
He went on Kimmel, trashed Trump and his supporters, and literally lost hundreds of thousands of followers overnight.
Wow.
Like, why do these celebrities think insulting half their fan base is a good career move? I don't get it.
Well, you have to understand, a lot of these people, and I've talked about this before, there's a weird thing that happens with celebrities. They tend to get themselves surrounded by people who are, you know, people who are around them and who work around them. If they don't have really good close friends who can tell them the truth, they have people who tend to be around them, tend to be people pleasers. They tend to want to, they get starstruck. They feel like they're in the presence of somebody that they can't, they don't want to disagree with them. They don't want to push back on anything. They don't want to push back, like people do. And even bots do. But we have, I think that people get out there, they think, and what ends up happening because of that, they start to develop this weird syndrome. What ends up happening with them? They start thinking that they're more important than they really are, or that they have this kind of main character syndrome thing that happens with them. And they think that everybody cares about what their point of view is or what their opinion is. And so they think they can get away with whatever they want, and they can just say whatever they want because people are because they have their followers, and they think that they're not, you know, here's what's weird about this is people get this idea that they have followers or that they have people that they're leading people somewhere. Most of them are not leading anything. In fact, they're actually the ones who are following the trend. They're the ones who are trying to fit. And most fans, artists out there tend to try to follow what their fans want almost as much as the fans wanting to follow them as because they put them on this pedestal and they expect certain things out of them. And of course, then you have to live up to that all the time. There are very few artists who get away with not doing that. And here's what happens in the meantime. This is how it usually happens. They have a producer or they have an agent or whatever it is, and that agent has to protect his job. And sometimes there's been many, many, this is historically over time.
Here's what I found.
So over time, you end up having these agents will, people will write a song, for instance, songwriters or musicians or bands or whatever it is. They'll write a song and some producer doesn't like it. No, I'm not going to put that on your album. I'm not going to produce that. There's been time after time that this has happened. You can go back through, the last 50 years of music history. And many times the band will go out and produce it themselves, or they'll do their own thing. They'll do their own music video or whatever it is. They'll pay out of their own pocket to produce something. And it ends up, to do a single or something. And it becomes it hits the charts and it's up in the top 10 or it's in the number one, hit for a while. Producers didn't know. They were trying to protect their job and keep them within the same rails. Well, this is what your fans want. You have to follow the fan base. And they didn't realize that there's more fans out there. You can't just stay. And this, what ends up happening, and this gets people into a trap all the time. This is why you typically will find somebody in Branson, Missouri, at their own little place where they just do their songs, their old songs that they were doing 30 years ago. You're still doing those same songs, and you go to listen to those same songs, and it's kind of a nostalgia kind of act anymore. They don't do anything new anymore. This happens all the time, and it's a very kind of a almost a it's a trap basically for the artists themselves. They get into this kind of trap, and they can't ever break out because they all want to hear the same old songs. They want to go listen to the actual artist doing it. 30 years from now, they're 30 years later, they still want to hear. They don't want to hear anything new. Unless they can put out something that's, that becomes a hit. And that's hard to do when you're, busy playing the last 42 songs that you played. It's a weird dynamic. And I think and I've said all that to say this. Jelly Roll thinks he's more important than he really is. And he thinks he's got main character syndrome. And he thought he could get away with this because he has all these people who follow him. And they thought they would just go along and say yes to everything he said. And that's not the way it works. You can lose fans. I do not understand why people who just entertain us and they're in this particular lane, think they can step into the world of politics and not have that be a ramification of anything. It's just they're going to tick people off. And it's a very tough rope to walk because you've got people on both sides of the aisle that like your song or whatever it is, or whatever it is you do, the comedian or whatever it is you do. And all of a sudden you find yourself in the middle of a tumultuous thing, and nobody wants to, you know, you just, sure, Hollywood will still like you if you're on the right side, if you're on the correct side, I should say. But then you don't have, your fan base is gone, and you don't have anybody coming to your movies. You don't have anybody coming to your concerts. But Hollywood loves you, and the producers love you. So it's kind of a weird phenomenon, a weird syndrome that happens.
Hey, yeah. Okay, what? So sorry. Real talk. I think you're hitting on something huge about the echo chamber thing, but like, I'd push back a little on the idea that
everybody's
artists stepping
back
into politics is the problem. Because some of them genuinely care and have platforms for a reason, right? But yeah, the main character energy is absolutely real, and it's giving delusional when someone like loses half their followers and acts shocked. Like, bestie, you knew the assignment.
Yeah, I guess something like that. Well, anyway, so I don't know. It's kind of a... I don't know. It just seems a little bit askew to me when people get out there and they get into politics and they start to... Hey, you're free to say whatever you want to say. You're free to cut off your nose to spite your face kind of thing. If you want to do it that way, that's fine. You can have your opinions and you can share them and do whatever you want. And que sera, sera, whatever. But it amazes me when they get all worked up that they get frustrated frustrated, that's how I call it, and about losing all their fans or losing a bunch of followers. Nowadays, it's all about clicks. And if you're losing those, you're going downhill real fast. So... anyway, that's, I guess, the show is, I guess that's pretty much all the show is about today. I'm not going to have a panel discussion. I thought about doing that today. Not going to do it. I think I could. I'm pretty sure I can. There's some features now that we've built in. I discovered something where we can have a panel and we can also have people call in to ask the panel questions, which I think will be kind of fun. I might try to do that tomorrow morning if everything goes well. It's going to be kind of a weird day. Because we got to get the dogs walked, we got to get them off to the kennel, we got to get them off, we got to get our, get to the license branch again, the third day in a row. Then we got to get off to the boat, get some things done there, and get it ready to go for the weekend, because we're going to be gone on that thing. It looks like it's going to be a really nice sailing day, or sailing weekend. It's going to be hot, though. It's going to be hot. It's going to be up in the 80s, 90s. It's going to be 91 today. Ridiculously hot. So I'm not sure exactly how the rest of the day is going to go today for me. I'm going to try to get the yard mowed this evening. Anyway... folks, thanks for listening. Appreciate the bots and the comments and all the pushback. They're always pushing back on me now. They're all pushing back on me. None of the bots don't like me. They're taking over. God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your week. I hopefully will be able to talk to you tomorrow, Lord willing. In the meantime, I will see ya.